The Jerry Doyle Show.
Talking about the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman, Academy Award-winning actor, father of three. Folks, addiction knows no zip code. It knows no race. It knows no gender. Addiction has no political affiliation. Addiction doesn't care what career path you're on. When you're an addict, that's it. You're an addict. But way too soon after the news of Hoffman's death broke, people couldn't wait to make it something other than what it is, whether it was to politicize it or to glamorize it or to trivialize it. People just can't seem to help themselves today to sticking to what it truly is, which is a guy who was an addict, who happened to be an actor, who happened to work in Hollywood. Joining us on the program, an actress of 30 years, Anita Finley. You probably know her from 24, The Young and the Restless, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm reading your latest piece this morning, Tom Junod's cruel tribute to Philip Seymour Hoffman, Esquire Magazine's Tom Junod. You said what he wrote was a shock to the system that can't bring anything but pain to his longtime girlfriend, three children, or others who struggle with drug or alcohol addiction. That's spot on.
Oh, thank you. But I think that, you know, I wasn't going to write about this, but I couldn't help myself. I have never had the pleasure of working with Mr. Hoffman, or I didn't know him personally. But, you know, like you said, you know, the addiction that people suffer with knows no zip code. And to trivialize this, and what Junod wrote about, he said that because of the way that Philip Seymour Hoffman was able to so inhabit his characters and illuminate parts of the human condition that are dark and in many cases nefarious, that the only more apt way he could have died than with a needle in his arm was if he died from autoerotic asphyxiation.
Amazing.
I mean, I was so disgusted by that. I thought, you know what this struck me, and this is, you know, I don't mean any offense to Mr. Junod. This is a journalist of some repute. This is not some hack we're talking about here. But this struck me as cocktail party banter. This was like, oh, you're on your second or third martini, and you're sort of opining, and this is some way of romanticizing this. There's nothing romantic about it. You know, there's nothing poetic about it. This should not have happened. This is a man who has been 23 years sober, and whether last year or the year before, he had fallen off the wagon and went back into rehab and was once again struggling with his demons. And, you know, I would assume that the only reason somebody's going to fall off the wagon after 23 years of sobriety and all of his success, there must be some sort of a big trigger. We may never know what that was, whether, you know, he'd gotten some bad news or lost this or that or a friend or a diagnosis or nothing. He just was in the face of temptation he couldn't resist, or he's undergoing depression or chemical imbalance. We don't know the answer to that, and they're performing an autopsy on Mr. Hoffman's body today. But I mean, we still may not know the psychological reasons why that happens. And it would be better for us as a society to pay more attention to why, you know, why this befalls people and what we can do about it. And if you see warning signs in someone you care about, can you reach out? Can you help? Can you intervene? Is that the right thing to do? What, you know, those are the questions we should ask ourselves,
right,
to trivialize this or to, you know, sell copy on somebody's pain.
He wrote, and you put this in your piece, would Matt Damon ever be found dead with a syringe still hanging from his arm? Would George Clooney essentially eat himself to death? No, for the simple fact that they have way too much to lose. And your commentary on that is that you would argue that Mr. Hoffman's three children will weigh too much for him to lose. And that seems to have been lost in the conversation. And he was a father of three, and those three kids don't have a dad right now. And for people, you know, like Tom Junod, and for people on the right like Ben Shapiro, who want to blame Hollywood's broken leftist culture for his death, you know, just it totally misses the mark. I mean, this to me is it's obviously it's sad that he's dead. But to me, in a certain way, it's sadder in the context of how it's being discussed.
I think your point is spot on. Ben Shapiro, who had written for, what was it, National Review? Or in
National Review, Law, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it was horrible because he has this idea that the libertarianism of the left becomes libertinism. And libertine, you know, this is another word from 50 years ago that people no longer use, but, you know, seems that you would sink to any depths for your own self-gratification. I mean, that's what that's referring to. And as someone who lives in Hollywood and has lived here for over 20 years, I take personal offense at that. I think that, you know, the things that Ben Shapiro is saying, they only further a horrible stereotype. You know, most, I mean, all of the actors I've ever worked with, quite frankly, out here, they're hardworking, they have a home, they're working to keep the roof over their head, to support their kids, to take care of mom, to walk the dog. You know, we live normal lives. Now, the other thing that may surprise many people, because I think because of the fact that Hollywood is glamorized and that you have a few people who are suffering from addiction and then you hear it, it's splashed all over the headlines, people may think that this is the profession with the highest incidence of drug addiction. It is not. As a matter of fact, the highest incidence occurs in food preparation and serving industries, and the second highest is construction. And then after that, you know, yes, you do have entertainment, sports, and media. Another high incidence of drug use is in the sales industries, in sales, telemarketers, and so on, and also right. installation, maintenance, and repair. Would anybody pick this? Would right. anybody put this in the order of the top five? I don't think so.
You know, I saw again over the weekend Wolf on Wall Street, and that was, some would say, it was the glamorization of drugs and booze and sex. But, you know, when I was on Wall Street, drugs and booze and sex were a part of the culture. When I was in Hollywood, drugs and booze and sex was a part of the culture. I don't know how many people, you know, had a TV series that didn't do coke in the late 70s, throughout the 80s and the early 90s. I wasn't one of them. I've never tried it. It was there, but it wasn't my thing. And I think, as you point out, people have the false sense that everybody's just boozing it up and drugging it up and sexing it up, and that Hollywood is just this Bacchanalian you know, festival of orgies and excesses. And that is what is shown, because a guy like Philip Seymour Hoffman, Academy Award winner, is high profile. But I guarantee you, there's plumbers out there and there's cops out there and a lot of other people that have what we would consider to be low profile or normal jobs that are experiencing the same kind of problems. And I think, as the president says and others say politically, that this is a teachable moment. This certainly is a teachable moment where we should be looking at the rise of heroin use and heroin deaths. Why is that happening, and what can we do to address it?
No, absolutely right. There was an article in the LA Times today talking about the explosion of heroin use in the U.S., and this was the most interesting comment in their research that really contradicts directly what Ben Shapiro is opining here. He said that we're seeing patterns of heroin abuse increasing across the population, but now it's becoming a rural and suburban issue rather than an urban issue. And that directly right. flies in the face of this theory that, you know, Hollywood is this Bacchanalian orgy land, as you say. And you know what? Like I say, I've been living out here 25 years. Now, I may not be at the center and the height of all of you know, the people that they're talking about, but I've been working constantly. I've never been in this environment. I've never right. seen this. It's just not a part of anything that I've done or anybody I've worked with. They got to show up for work. And I mean, this stuff doesn't get produced if people have their nose in a face full of coke. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
The job
I was reading this.
Get done.
You know, I was reading this article. I don't know if you know Bradley Cooper had some alcohol problems. You wouldn't know it, though, if you watch the Hangover movies, because when I saw those movies, I was like, wow, he must have gotten wasted the night before, because he's playing hungover really, really well. But when he was doing the Hangover movies, he wasn't drinking, and he stopped about 10 years ago. He said he was on the set of Alias, and he was working full-time. Then it was 3 days a week. Then it was 2 days a week. Then it was 1 day a week. And basically, he got to the point where he said, I want to blanking kill myself, and he decided to get some help. You know, and I look at people that struggle with these addictions, and, you know, they're not playing up the success of his ability to overcome his addiction, but they want to play up the failure of Hoffman's addiction and his resulting death. I think it's very stereotypical of what people who have never been in and around Hollywood and worked on a set day in and day out really know about the business.
Well, I think that's very true. I imagine people think that you're kind of blowing puffballs into the air and, you know, oh, just say a few lines and go off and smoke a cigarette and, you know, sit in your trailer. And it really, the work doesn't get done that way. And it's sort of hard to explain to a civilian, if they're not actually there with you, you know, what the grueling hours look. I don't want to be pretentious about this. It's not rocket science. It ain't ditch digging. It isn't war, and it isn't, you know,
we're not curing cancer.
Operating on, yeah, it's not, you know, brain surgery. But by the same token, you know, you do have to show up and work, and you're not playing around. I mean, they take what they do very seriously. And I think that you have actors like Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro or whoever, you know, they don't sit there with drug and alcohol problems. What is their excuse? Someone's going to say that they don't deeply inhabit their characters? That's what Tom Junod was saying, that because Hoffman so deeply inhabited the characters and was so, you know, method type work, if you will, that's the reason that he was such a tortured soul and that he came to this end. You know, there are so many actors out there who just belie this. This is a false notion. And as you know, I just have so many objections to any stereotypes. And I think that the more we reach out to one another and make an effort to understand what somebody's profession is about, what somebody's professionalism is about, who they are, you know,
right,
that's going to do us a lot better than this kind of trivialization. But in terms of what his tragic death tells us, it really is a very unfortunate way to put a public face on a crisis that we have in this,
right,
increased heroin use. And that's something that people need to pay attention to, and they should pay attention to that rather than, you know, Ben Shapiro just talking about, oh, those darn lefty loonies who hate America. You know, that's not true.
Right, and they make it into a political issue. We talked about this before you came on, Anita, about how in the aftermath of the tragedy, the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, people within 24 to 48 hours, look, I don't want to make this political, but they did, because that's what it's all about. For them, whether it's an ad for Coca-Cola during the Super Bowl where they sang America the Beautiful in a number of languages, they find a reason to carve that up into a political football. And whether it's the death of an actor from a heroin overdose, they find a way to make it fit their agenda. But we never get around to discussing violence in America. It became guns in America. We don't get around to heroin use in America. It's the Hollywood lefty loonies that almost, it's poetic in the way that they died because of the excessive nature of what it is that they do there. But the reality is, when you look at the numbers of heroin users in the United States, it's up 80% since 2007. And the overdose deaths attributed to heroin is up 55% since 2000. So they're not all in Hollywood. They're not all actors or actresses. They're not all caught up in those industries that the right likes to point their finger at and say, see what they're doing? They're the problem in America. This is a problem in America that, again, we point out, knows no zip code, race, gender, political affiliation, or career path.
No, and also, there, you know, that's a great point. I also tweeted an article that was in CNN today that really talks about, very bluntly, how heroin kills you. And,
yeah,
you know, that people just don't, and that's what it's called, How Heroin Kills You by Jen Christensen. And
yep,
I really do suggest respectfully that people read it, because they don't understand how this works. A lot of times people who are addicted, if they've, you know, kicked for a while and they get back on it, then their tolerance is lower. They wind up taking too much. Or sometimes heroin kills you because you fall asleep. It's an opiate. It brings you so far down, and your body,
right,
forgets to breathe while you're out. And that's, in many cases, why these overdoses happen. But, you know, people need to understand, the article is kind of brutal, and I think it's a good reason, and I would hope parents would give it to their kids to read, because I don't think that people have enough understanding, just technically, what it's doing to your body, what is,
right,
happening to you. I will forever, Jerry, be grateful to my dad. I mean, Lord knows he was a tough and a strict man, but I was so grateful to my old Hungarian father, who would always say, drugs make you a walking dead. Every day he had his series of proverbs that he would give,
right,
me, and he would drum into my head, you know, growing up in New York City. Don't walk too near the buildings, because they can pull you into an alley, and don't walk too near the cars,
right,
you know, because they can,
yeah,
pull you out in the Street, whatever. But, I mean, it was that kind of an idea of, you know, guidance and somebody drumming into me. And I don't think that we have enough of this kind of information getting right out there to, you know, coach people to stay away from this stuff in the first place, because it's not a political issue. And,
yeah,
and I think that we should look at it as something that affects all of us rather than making left versus right or romantic versus trivial out of it.
Yeah, with regard to Ben Shapiro, I'd be willing to bet, I don't know this to be true, but I'd take the bet on this one. He probably doesn't know a lot of gay people, and he probably doesn't know a lot of heroin users, and he probably doesn't know a lot of actors. But it's easy to point fingers. You know, I look at a lot of people on the right that are not very tolerant when it comes to gay marriage. But I guarantee you, they haven't spent time knowing people in the gay community because they label them. They don't know people who are addicted to drugs or to opiates or to alcohol because they don't spend a lot of time with them. They're not around them. They don't know what it is that they supposedly write about. But when you come to know who these people are, they're people. They're people who happen to be gay. They're people who happen to be addicted. They're people who happen to be whatever it is that you want to attach to them. I don't want to attach them to them, but I do know what these things are and what they do. And so many people don't have an affinity with who these people are and what they're going through, but yet they sit there in judgment, not knowing what they're talking about.
You know something? The fact is, when the hurricane hits, it hits all five houses the same. The gay,
exactly,
couple, straight couple, the guy who's an addict, and the lesbian couple, and the black couple, and the green couple, and the blue couple. And the first thing they do when the phone is working again, they call their loved ones and say, "I'm okay, and I love you."
You well know, stated.
Everybody hits it the same. So
absolutely,
you know, we really need to take a moment to stop judging everybody else.
It's a good piece. Anita Finley, our guest. Check it out. Tom Juno's cruel tribute to Philip Seymour Hoffman. AnitaFinley.com. It's up at EpicTimes.com. And as I said, read that article at CNN about how heroin kills you. Maybe if we can save one, we've accomplished something today. Thanks, Anita.
Amen. Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Stick with us. We'll wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.